Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
First of all, I just want to say thank you to our music and praise team for just inspiring music that leads us into this space and this time where we are called to give God thanks. And I am so grateful this morning, especially for this music that helps me to get into this place where we can continue to worship God together. So I want to begin by saying that this week, both Ron and I had doctor's appointments. My appointment had been scheduled months ago, almost a year ago, for my annual checkup. Ron's was scheduled this week as a result of a bad respiratory infection. And both of us went to our family doctor, and during our visit, she asked lots and lots of questions. Questions about work, questions about life in general and what was happening, and most recently, including any symptoms or persistent physical problems we might be having. She checked blood work. She checked current prescriptions. She asked about emotional as well as physical health concerns and whether either of us were undergoing any unusual stress in our lives. The result? Ron got 4 prescriptions and I got 1. The ones for Ron were written. Mine was verbal. Now, I share this because I want to do a little checkup of my own this morning with each of you by asking you some questions. And the first is this: how many of you here today are experiencing a life that you and others would say is one that is marked by joy and peace? You don't have to raise your hand, but you can if you want to. And if it's not that kind of a life that is evident both to yourself and to others, how many of you would want to experience that kind of life? A life that is marked by joy and peace. You may raise your hand now. I think everybody here wants that. And a final question: what would the prescription for this outcome in your life and mine include? Welcome to week 2. Of our sermon series entitled Grateful. Over the 4 weeks of November, we are going to intentionally be exploring together what a heart of gratitude looks like as you and I are challenged to exercise and build that spiritual muscle for our lives. And I hope that some of you have joined us in that challenge to make gratitude and thanksgiving a part of your daily spiritual practice. And we've been making some resources available for you. Perhaps some of you have picked up the gratitude calendar this week or last week and you've been going through it, identifying one thing that is suggested each day for which you give thanks. My personal favorite for this week is identifying a memory I am thankful for, because quite frankly, there are so many. I mean, when I start to think about what do I remember that I'm thankful for, it's just an amazing practice. And thinking about a way those memories reflect God's faithfulness over the years have made me even more joyful. And if you haven't yet picked up your copy of the gratitude calendar, it's not too late to do that. Just outside of the sanctuary as you leave today on the big table in the narthex, under the sign that says grateful, there are calendars. I would recommend one for each member of your family, because everybody's going to respond to that differently. It would be really, really cool if in your family, when you get together for dinner or some kind of time together, you can respond with each other. What have you written down on that calendar? Also, if you have joined us online this week for daily devotions, you've been invited to also into another practice, a spiritual practice called a gratitude journal, where for just 5 minutes every day, you write down the things for which you are grateful. Everything you can think of, from the mundane to the spectacular. And I set an alarm on my phone for 5 minutes, and I just write. I just write, 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 write. And it's amazing because I'm not finished writing by the time 5 minutes is up, but I stop because it's a practice I want to get into. And so anyway, I just want you to know that that practice alone of 5 minutes, just 5 minutes, doing gratitude journaling can change your life as you begin to see with new eyes and with grateful hearts the increased awareness of the blessings of God that are in all of us as we offer our thanks. But our scripture today from Philippians 4 might be a bit challenging as we look at the sermon title today with its question, give God thanks in every situation? I mean, is it even possible in the midst of war and violence and hatred and frustration and failure and tragedy and illness? Is it possible to give thanks to God? How can we be thankful, rejoice, and have peace when these kinds of hard times are all around us constantly? In just 4 verses, the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about this, and so I would like to invite us today to think about the scripture reading as a kind of prescription for you and for me. Words of instruction so that you and I can experience the spiritual health that leads us to live the way of Jesus, a life of thanksgiving, joy, peace, and abundance. So now we'd like to invite you to join me in prayer as we prepare our hearts to be open to what God may be saying to each of us today. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we come to you just as we are, and we acknowledge that in this moment of quietness, asking you to take us where we are and love us where we are and open our hearts to hear what you need us to know as we join together and reflect upon the words of Scripture. And I pray that this prescription for life, the words that the Apostle Paul wrote so long ago, might be blessed by you and that we might take them into our own hearts so that we might experience the transformation that comes from a life of gratitude. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, the one who came and showed us what that really looks like. And we give you thanks. Amen. All right, so let's take a look at this prescription for living a life of joy and peace. Paul begins this final chapter in the book of Philippians, the letter that he wrote to the Philippians, with this word, rejoice. Let's say it together. Rejoice. Got to do it with gusto. You know, that's a power word. The word is also translated, though, as farewell. Rejoice is farewell. And which is not only a greeting that people said to each other in the first century when they were parting, but also a wish for the recipient's life. And the way to fare well with life, Paul says, is to rejoice in the Lord. In fact, he says, I'm going to say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Now, I can think of rejoicing in a couple of different ways. There are those moments when I have rejoiced over something really good that happens all of a sudden and unexpectedly, like I did during the pandemic when I was at home and I got a phone call and it was from somebody from the R.C. Durr Foundation telling me that the church had been given over $100,000 for the shower ministry. And I didn't know who that person was. I never even heard of the R.C. Durr Foundation, but I guess I tell you, when I hung up from that phone call, I rejoiced. In fact, I did the happy dance. I was doing this in my bedroom. You know, I was just so grateful for the way in which God had shown up in an unexpected way. I was definitely on an emotional high. But is that all rejoicing entails? Those random serendipitous moments that come out of nowhere. I mean, when Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians, you know where he is, right? He is in prison. Paul is in prison. He is undergoing struggles. He does not know when or even if he will ever get out. And so I think that we have to agree that rejoicing or faring well, according to Paul, does not necessarily mean an absence of conflict or struggle. In fact, our text for today tells us that things like joy and peace are not about feelings at all, but rather about a relationship. And Paul talks about that relationship when he uses the phrase, in the Lord, in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, when we've been talking about gratitude as a spiritual muscle or an attitude that can only be developed by habit, and that inclusion of the word always does suggest from Paul that this attitude of gratitude comes from rejoicing in our lives regardless of circumstances, if you and I can make a habit out of it. To rejoice in the Lord always points us to a joy that not is only long-lasting, but also is a joy that sustains us even when we are worn down by life's challenges. It is a joy that is rooted in an ongoing relationship that is built on trust in the God whom Paul says ultimately works for good in your life and in mine. And it is also important to understand that well-being in our lives, even when we're going through the hardest times and even those heartbreaking times, is dependent upon relationship. Beginning with our relationship with God and Jesus Christ, but also in our relationship in community. You know, it can really be a temptation when going through struggles to withdraw from our relationships. I know for me, it's very difficult to share when not all is well with my soul. I want to be there for others, but to admit that I'm going through those times as a pastor, I mean, that's not easy. It's not easy for me. And perhaps it's not easy for you either. But Paul reminds us here that mutual support and continuous connection with God in loving relationships are the foundation of joy, and it is a cause of rejoicing. I was visiting with our oldest member of our congregation, Miss Ethel Galbraith, this week, 102 years old. And I have to say, I always, if you ever want to be lifted up, any of you, go see Ethel. I mean, she's in the hospital. I'm going to see her, and she still lifts me up. There's always a nugget of wisdom or truth that she has for me. And so this time she said, I want to quote her, she said, "We have a good God, and we have good people, and we need both. We have a good God, and we have good people, and we need both." She's talking about the church. Yes, we are created for relationship. Relationship with God and relationship with each other. And that's why it's so important to be a part of a community of faith. The Church of Jesus Christ, as the body of Christ, each one, each member of the body, depending and relating with one another for the healthy function of the whole. It's part of Paul's prescription for a life of joy and peace. So this morning, as we continue our spiritual checkup, ask yourself this question. How is my relationship with God and with others? Am I willing to be transparent and lean into those relationships, especially when I'm going through struggles? Am I willing to trust in God and to rejoice in God, not because of the circumstance, hear me, but in the circumstance, knowing that God will make a way, even when there seems to be no way? The second part of the prescription is found in verse 5. Where Paul continues the theme of relationship with the command, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone." Now, in English, when we think about the word gentleness, it's often associated with being meek and mild. But in the Greek, the word is epikeis, which means to be tolerant, not insisting on every right or letter of the law or custom. So to embody this gentleness in our lives means to recognize that we have a choice for how we are going to behave toward others. It's not about being nice or kind necessarily, but it is always about the exercise of power. Paul puts this in context by saying, "Let your gentleness be made known to everyone." Why? Because the Lord is near. So what Paul's saying here is to let your gentleness be known to everyone. It requires two things. First, it requires self-awareness, and it requires humility. And of course, if we are self-aware and we are humble, we know that this is not of our own doing, right? No, this is a life that is yielded to the very power of Christ working in us. And it is in this way, Paul says, that you and I are to engage everyone. Doesn't mean that you're to roll over every time you're faced with something. It is to love with the power of Christ. But here's the thing. We're sometimes tempted to insist on exercising every right and law or custom. And most of the time that's because of an underlying fear or anxiety. Sometimes we think, well, if I give up control, what will happen? Or if I don't get my own way, my life's going to fall apart. And if you and I allow that fear to move us into anxiety, we often fall into a dark place where feelings of isolation and abandonment and fear are of all of the what ifs completely overwhelm and ultimately paralyze us. And so to this comes the next part of the prescription. Look with me again at verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right, so I'm going to say a couple of things this morning about worry. The first thing that I want to be clear about is what Paul is not saying in this passage of Scripture. Paul is not saying that there is nothing to worry about, nor is Paul saying that the things we are concerned with are unimportant. All of us deal with feelings like fear and anger and anxiety. And as we've said many times, feelings are not bad or good. They are there simply to inform us of something that's going on in our lives that needs to be addressed. And for us as followers of Jesus Christ, that means addressing them in the context of our relationship with God. And someone say to me not so long ago that they couldn't be angry if they were a Christian. That's not true. Just saying. Anger is an emotion, and we get to choose how we will address it. We can choose to let it consume us, to be bitter, to be filled with all of that hatred that comes out when we don't address it in the right way. We can use it as a weapon to harm others, and some people do that. Or we can choose to offer it to God. And believe me, when you and I are angry, you need to know that God can take our anger, even if we're angry at God. God's got broad shoulders, and he can take it. The same is true with anxiety. It tells us that something's up, and so we can examine it, and then we, as Paul says, need to pray about it. Not only to pray about it, but to give it up to God with thanksgiving. Why? Well, let's look at the final verse for the last part of the prescription. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can give our fears and anxieties and whatever else we are experiencing to God with thanksgiving. Why? Because God loves us. And because God loves us, God offers us peace. It is a gift from God, peace. But it is not a gift for you and I to put up on a shelf and be admired. Nor is it something magical that suddenly makes everything all right, at least for our own, from our own perspectives. No, God's peace pushes the limits of our imagination, challenging us to reconsider what it is that makes for peace in our lives and in the lives of others. Because remember, God is able to see the big picture, the whole picture. And God knows far beyond our own ability to comprehend what is good and right and loving. This peace is also one, Paul writes, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Another word for guard is to protect. And beloved, our hearts and minds that sometimes drive our imaginations and shape our attitudes and behaviors do need protecting, not only from the influence of outside forces, but also sometimes from within ourselves. God's peace protects us. How? By drawing us deeper into relationship with Jesus, who, as the scripture says, is our peace. So to answer the question that is the title to my sermon, are we to give God thanks in every situation? You bet we are. Because when you and I give thanks, when we pray, when we recognize that we can trust in God, that God wills to work in you and in me to bring about joy and goodness and peace in us and then through us to others, this is God's power that transforms anxiety and fear and grief and pain into life beyond our imagining. So how about you? Do you want to fare well in this life? Begin with your soul. Begin with your relationship with God and with each other. Give thanks in the Lord, no matter what the circumstance. Don't let worry take root, but let worry inform you that it's time to talk to God. And then let God do that work that leads you to joy and to peace. So I was going to say, it's really hard for me at times to be transparent with the congregation, people that I am entrusted to shepherd, when I'm going through my own times of struggle. But this week, and in fact, earlier this morning, has been a struggle for me. Two of our beloved church members have passed. One was Sherry Noel, Wednesday of this week. And the other, as of this morning, was Rachel Fay. And I received a call very, very early in the morning that Rachel had been taken to the hospital and that she was in the process of dying. And so I went to the hospital and spent some time there with the family as we were dealing with something that shouldn't happen to a 45-year-old woman who, when she found out she had ALS, the first thing she did was to contact the church and say, I need spiritual guidance through this time. And so as I was going to when I was going to the hospital this morning, I was thinking about the sermon for today. Give thanks in every situation. And then I just turned it over to God and I said, God, I don't understand why this is happening, but I know that you do. And then a piece of music played that said, Welcome Home, and it just kind of turned my heart into the right place to be thinking about God at work, to release Rachel from the bondage that she had been dealing with for so long. And I'm thinking about her being wrapped in God's arms. When you were singing the song this morning, I'm embraced in your arms. And that gave me peace. And the more I share that this morning, the more I am feeling that peace for myself and giving God thanks. One of the things I want to say also is, you know, Rachel was not someone who was able to come to church. She came one time to officially join the church to be confirmed in her faith. And some of you were here when that happened. But she wasn't able to come another time, but you all were her community. And just this week when I went to her house, and I'm looking at Claire and I'm looking at Melanie, she'd received two cards from you all. And her dad gave them to me, and I opened the cards, and I showed them to her. And I read the scripture that you had, Melanie, on the card, which was from last Sunday. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And Rachel was able to receive the love and the support that she and so many of you have given to her. So thanks be to God for the community of faith, the relationships that we have for one another that didn't leave Rachel by herself, but gave her that peace that helped her to move into eternity. Today, we all are called to consider for ourselves, what do we need to release to God? How can we be in deeper relationship with God and with one another so that we might know joy and peace? My prayer for you and for me is that we might receive this prescription. And I have to tell y'all also, I didn't say this at the earlier service, but Dr. Shea's verbal prescription to me was take care of yourself. Take good care of yourself because you're worthy of that too. May it be so in all of our lives. And the people of God said, amen and amen.